Cinéphile. Roslyn Hyams.
Hello and welcome to this month's Cinéphile, from Paris to Argentina, contemporary to historical, with US director Nathan Silva, with Thirst Street, a.k.a. C'est qui cette fille, an urban anti-cliché Parisian flick with Lucretia Martel's sweltering 18th century costume drama set in the Argentinian outback and called Zama, both stories of passion and yearning.
Ça tourne. Take one.
Zama was chosen as the closing film at the Three Continents Film Festival in Nantes last November. It's a rich contrast with the rather grey and stone Western French city. The film, set in rural colonial Latin America, tells the tale of the isolated and languishing judge Don Diego de Zama, based on Antonio Di Benedetto's novel from 1956. Zama hopes, then longs for, then gives up on a letter from the viceroy which would have him transferred from the outpost where he's rotting to be reunited with his family.
Señora mía, mi Marta. El gobernador me dice que no falta mucho para mi partida.
Don Diego de Zama.
¿A dónde esperas ser trasladado?
A la ciudad de Lerma.
For want of something better to do in the face of distant disregard, he starts looking for a particularly elusive bandit.
Mensaje para Diego de Zama.
Nos han dicho de un tal Vicuña.
Vicuña Porto entra en las casas y pasa días violando mujeres.
Director Lucretia Martel's film draws its strength from her experience, her sensitivity and her eye for detail, which create a tremendous atmosphere, and also from her choice of actor to play the only really memorable character in the two-hour-long film. She settled on commanding Spanish-born Mexican actor Daniel Jiménez Cacho, who also works with Mexican director Arturo Ripstein.
Lo había conocido a través de las películas de Ripstein. Bueno, es un hombre con una belleza muy excepcional.
I knew him through Ripstein's films. He's an amazingly beautiful man. But together with this very manly beauty, there's this very feminine side to him. It's important for his character in the film because throughout the novel, it's about his desire as a man.
Es alguien que está muy pendiente de su deseo, muy consciente de su deseo.
Señora mía, mi Marta, el gobernador me dice que no falta mucho para mi partida.
The actor's talent is paramount, as is the careful choice of location. Martel said it was an easy choice for the story and her filmmaking philosophy, but made the task more challenging in practice.
Lo filmamos en el Chaco.
We shot the film in especially difficult and harsh conditions, in the Chaco region. Logistically, it's complicated to set a movie there because of flooding, the snakes, the insects. But I was really crazy about filming there. To be able to work in such a difficult place, we had to change a lot of elements in the filming schedule. But the thing is, the only image we have of the 18th and 19th century in Argentina is based on the Rio del Plata, Buenos Aires, Montevideo, and I wanted to move on from that vision. The vast majority of the Argentine films shown internationally are shot in and around Buenos Aires, and Rio de la Plata and most of my films are shot in other areas. I want to show different images.
Contrasting natural beauty of the setting with the absurdity and pain of colonial administration, Martel's film Zama was out in cinema halls in France in mid-July. Actually, Zama has been around the world since it released in 2017 and will land in New Zealand and Australia in the autumn.
Ça tourne. Cinéphile. RFI's movie pick.
Nathan Silva looks like he graduated from Tisch Art School in New York's film section just the other day. However, Thirst Street is his eighth feature. He and Charles Mason Wells, his co-writer, chose to co-produce with France, a country where Silva has spent time over the years. His attachment to the place helped him serve up a movie which feels very much at home in France, just like the male lead, Jérôme, played by a master of understatement, Damien Bonnard. And yet it's also distinctly New York independent, a spirit captured by the star of the film, Lindsay Burge, as a young, widowed former air hostess who, during a stopover in Paris, is convinced by a fortune teller who's been bribed by her closest friends that she will soon have a new love affair. She's given an odd hint to help her recognise the person, which comes straight from the fortune teller's imagination, the man's eye.
I see a new man in your future.
Give me your hand. We can go to my place.
When she saw Jerome, Gina felt something.
I like uniform of flight attendant. Very sexy.
Pour toi, je porte mon uniforme d'hôtesse de l'air.
Jerome?
Ah, American girl.
I've been thinking about moving to Paris.
Bonjour.
What are you doing here?
When she meets Jerome, he has conjunctivitis, which Gina, the air hostess, catches. This gives you an idea of how Silver tells the story. In a film where the suspense builds, he rubs the everyday against the most unexpected and offbeat dark humour with the sinister. Angelica Houston gives a deceptively bedtime story performance as an off-screen narrator.
Most passengers barely notice Gina on her flights.
Bye-bye, have a nice day.
On their layover, her co-workers forced Gina out for an evening on the town. A special surprise, they said.
Nathan Silver was sitting on the hot terrace of the aptly named Terrasse Hotel in Montmartre when I met him after the film had screened at the Champs-Élysées Film Festival in Paris this year.
For me, it's a romantic comedy. It has a happy ending of sorts. The main character, Gina, she's obsessed with movie love. That's where her ideas of love came about, developed through watching movies.
I've also heard people describe Thirst Street as an anti-comedy. It is funny, we want to laugh, but at the same time, we don't. That's a very difficult balance to achieve. How did you do that with your co-writer?
We're obsessed with this idea of basically what people will do for love. It's a process of humiliation, and if it's reciprocated, then the humiliation goes unnoticed. But if it's not reciprocated, then the humiliation is unbearable. And so you're watching someone who believes that this man is in love with her. She misreads all of the cues. And so for her, it's a grand love story. For him, it's a nuisance. But she doesn't see it that way. So it's a cringe comedy in that way. She actually goes through it all without noticing. She decides to be blind. I think in order, like when you're making a movie, like doing any crazy task, you know, you have blinders on. And she has blinders on. She has this Don Quixote-like mindset when she goes about love. And I can associate that with how I make movies. I don't, even though everything tells me not to do movies a certain way, like we didn't have dialogue written for this. It was all improvised. Everything we were advised against, we did, but I didn't at the time, didn't stick because I was in love with this idea. And in the same way, she's in love with Jerome.
When filmmakers come from the States to make a film in France, and specifically in Paris, they would choose different locations from yours.
We didn't want to make a tourist movie. When you come to a foreign country, you have all these associations with it that you've seen in movies. And they're associations that feel like they're part of your experience, but you've only just witnessed them on the screen. And so when she comes to Paris, it's like the light is very exaggerated. It's almost, it's an emotional lighting instead of, you know, practical lighting. So we wanted it to feel like she comes with this idea of Paris and almost imposes that idea on the place. And so I thought about all the movies that I grew up with, like Cinéma du Luc movies, where the lighting is kind of similar to this. And we just imposed it on all the settings. And we thought it was kind of funny to set it in a foreign city and not really show the city. There's like a glimpse of the Eiffel Tower at one point. Most of the, you know, movie takes place at this nightclub. In the movie, it's called The Green Inn, but we shot at Chez Castel. We didn't want to just shoot a scene in the street to show this picturesque Paris. We wanted to shoot whatever was necessary. What's more important is the cultural difference, and it's the way she's treated socially. Like in the, there are party scenes, there are certain scenes where she's smiled at and she doesn't understand how she's being humiliated while they're talking because she doesn't understand French all that well. So she doesn't understand all the humiliations she's going through, which is another form of misreading. So it was more interesting to study sociologically the people in Paris rather than the landscape, which we've seen a million times before.
What are you doing here?
Got a job.
Okay.
Thirst Street also reflects a current filmy trend to dust down and upgrade experimental or low-budget styles from the 1960s, 70s or 80s. Well, that brings us to the end of July's Cinephile on Radio France International. Thank you for listening, and from me, Roslyn Hyams. Until next time, goodbye.
Dans la vie, quand une chose n'est pas sérieuse, on dit c'est du cinéma.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that?
Pourquoi vous pensez qu'on ne prend pas le cinéma au sérieux?
This is a tasty burger.
You talking to me?
Rex, you're not in 3D.
Well, of course I'm in 3D. What if I'm done?
You never know what you're going to get.
Cinephile, Roslyn Hyams.